What's going on, everybody? This is Gripped, Awakening the Grown in a Generation for Revival and the Return of the Lord. I'm Billy Humphrey.
And I'm Corey Russell.
And this is Season 2, Episode 7. We're talking about the knowledge of God. And man, this season's been awesome. Just loved every single episode. And we're just going to keep rolling. These passages that we're unpacking, they're basically some of my favorite. I mean, going from favorite passage to favorite passage to favorite passage right now. And it's literally stuff. I know it's stuff that I've spent hours, hundreds of hours in. I know you've spent the same amount. So it's almost like we're sitting here eating the dessert of hours of being in the Word. I mean, it's just, anyway, it's just super enjoyable is what my point is.
I
love doing this with you, bro. And anyway, we love offering this to you because our point is to cause your heart to come alive, to cause you to be sparked and awakened. And many of you have reached out to us and told us, hey, this podcast is lighting me up. And I just want to encourage you, if it's lighting you up, share it with somebody.
Yes.
We're not monetizing it. We're continuing to sow it. We just want people's hearts to come alive, to get rocked, to get lit up with the revelation of Jesus, and for that to spread like a fire, like a virus. So this episode, we're going to go into two of our favorite chapters. We want to talk, because we were in Revelation 1 last episode, talking about the unveiling of Jesus on Patmos and to John. And now we're just going to hop over a few chapters to Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. I don't even know if we can do both of those.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll see.
But what we have in Revelation 1, John's on Patmos, Jesus appears on the planet. And then what he's going to do is he's going to give John seven letters to seven churches. He appears in his glorified state. We walked through a little of that in the last episode. Then he dictates seven letters that John's supposed to send to the seven churches. And there's such revelation of who he is.
Oh, man.
He expresses himself in each letter as a certain few attributes. He actually expresses himself. But then in Revelation 4, John goes from having his feet on the planet and having Jesus encounter him while he's on the planet to something transcendent happening to him.
Yes.
Where he's actually taken through an open door and he actually finds himself standing in the throne room of God.
Yes.
Behold, a door standing open in heaven. And he hears the same voice. It says, Revelation 4:1.
That's right.
The voice I heard at the beginning. He says, come up here like a trumpet. Come up here.
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus. Just like in Revelation 1, he heard the voice behind him. Now he's looking. There's a door open in heaven. And through the door, Jesus says, come up here.
Oh my gosh.
And now John goes through the door. And he's looking at one seated on a throne. Behold, one seated on the throne. And he's staring at the Eternal Father. And this is probably from Revelation 1, verse 10 through Revelation 22. It's the most powerful, transcendent encounter that anyone has in the entire scripture, I would say, right?
Yes.
And so when John begins to tell us what he sees in Revelation 4, the number of components that are all little entryways, they're all little on-ramps into the knowledge of God, what you need to do with Revelation 4 and 5 is you need to take these two passages and commit them to a time, like a month's time of meditation and consideration, because here we have John experiencing the Eternal Father in a way that we don't see him ever express. Daniel, a little bit.
Yeah.
John's is more extensive in the whole scripture.
I just want to say, I feel like these two chapters are absolutely critical.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the book of Revelation, is what happens right here in this throne room.
Exactly.
And that scroll that we'll see in chapter five. But I just want to say to you, I was feeling this really strong at the end of 2020. We are in an urgent hour for the body of Christ to connect to the throne room of God.
Yeah.
To lift our eyes and to get above the swirl, the storms, the narratives of the day, and to connect to the throne room of God. This door is standing open. And what John encounters, it is an invitation for all of us. Now, John got the da-da-da-da, the explosive thing.
Yes.
But there is a measure of invitation for every one of us.
That's right.
I want you to understand this. This is not just some just Apostle John's. There is an invitation for all of us to begin to acquaint ourselves with the throne room of God.
Yeah, there's a come up here.
Yes.
There's an invitation from God right now saying to us, saying to you, saying to us, come up here. Yes. I will show you things.
I want to blow your mind.
Come up here. I want to show you things.
And so John is caught up. It says that he hears a voice, come up here. I'll show you things. And immediately I was in the spirit. Immediately. Whether in the body or out of the body, who knows, but he was there. Immediately I was in the spirit. And the first thing that he sees is a throne set in heaven.
Yes. Behold, a throne is set in heaven.
The throne of God. And see, that alone, that aspect. And I remember it was 1999 when Mike Bickle preached on 15 doors into the beauty realm. He preached a message on how there are 15 doors into the beauty realm of God. And the throne room, the throne is a referenced reality all through Scripture.
Yes.
Guys, there is a throne above every throne. Every power, principality, ruler, dominion, there's a throne that's set. It's immovable. Mm. Psalm 29 says he's set enthroned at the flood. He sits as king forever.
Yes.
And so there is a throne and that there is one sitting on that throne.
Yes. The idea that it's set means it's immovable.
Yes.
It's above everything else. And so here's the thing, and this is something we really need to tease out, but it's through the spirit of revelation that we then can enter into the spirit of intercession. Because when a throne set in heaven, when that revelation drops into you, then you realize I have audience with that throne. Everything I ask is about to be released.
All of your prayers, this will shift everything in your prayer life when you connect that you have audience with him.
Yes.
Over every power, there is no one that can remove him off that throne.
It's set.
It is set.
Yeah, it's not up for grabs. I mean, you know what I mean? It is completely
immovable. There'll be no coup.
There'll be
no overtaking. It's set.
And that's what you have access to. You have access to the one on the throne to actually make request according to his will, and then it's accomplished. And we actually see that played out through the book of Revelation in stunning, shocking ways, all the way to the culmination of Revelation 8, where everything is released from the throne to the earth. But this power of revelation, if you can comprehend it, that this place, this throne that's set, that is your place.
That's right.
That's what you're invited into. That when we close our eyes, we don't have to have John's, you know, extraterrestrial experience.
No.
We already have it.
That's right.
We're there in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. When we close our eyes, we have that same audience.
Colossians 3, if you've been raised with Christ. Ephesians 2, we've been raised and seated together with him in the heavenly places. Paul in Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. I want to say something to you. Some people will say, hey man, this is kind of fruity. You don't want to be so heavenly minded. You'll be no earthly good. This is an apostolic command from Paul.
Yes.
Set your mind, fill your mind with the throne room. Let the throne life and the throne power and the one on the throne and your identity in those heavenly places, let it fill and saturate your mind, your imagination. Let it fill you until you wake up to where you're at.
That's right.
And I want to just say that to you. It's not a side issue. It's not a fruity, charismatic thing. It's a biblical, apostolic command to look at things which are unseen.
Yes.
And to connect to the unseen and to live in that realm. John cease. And see, this is the thing about this too. And I don't have concrete, like John has the direct encounter.
Right, right.
We're doing our best to envision what we're seeing. But I want to say to you, this is loving God with our minds.
Yes, yes.
My ideas aren't that strong. It's not like I have real fixed images and you got to have the exact fixed image. It's taking the Bible and filling your mind with what the Bible says and speaking it back to God.
Yes.
And learning how to lift your soul to God.
Yeah, and that's the point, though. God gave us an imagination.
Yes.
And then he gives us detail in the scripture.
Yes.
That fills our imagination.
Absolutely.
Right? And so then our imagination, sanctified by the word of God, it actually gives us journey. It actually
yes.
gives us an on-ramp and an
yes.
escort into the truths of what the scripture is trying to give us. So when it says a throne is set there and that you've been seated in heavenly places
yes.
in Christ, you are there with him in that throne room. And that one that's seated on the throne, that is our Father. That's the one we've got an audience with. And he's like a jasper.
Yes,
and a sardius
yes.
stone, and there's thunders and there's lightnings and there's voices and sounds coming out of the very being of God. This is the divine theater of entertainment that you and I have been given entrance and audience with. And here's the point. Steven Spielberg, name your director, name the explosive movie, whatever, pyrotechnics. None of it touches a throne set in heaven and one seated on that throne who's like a jasper and a sardius stone.
John is doing his best to describe what he's seeing. And he's trying to create a bridge for the common reader. But what he's seeing, he has never seen anything like this before. That's why he's going to use words like.
Yes.
He was like. He wasn't, but he was like. And so John's doing his best. And he says he was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. So what John's declaring is the ancient jasper would be the bright diamond light, the shining radiance. Mingled with the sardius, which would be the fiery red.
Like a ruby.
The ruby. What he's seeing is blinding light and burning fire engulfing itself. And John is saying, it's not exactly, but it's like, because that's the only bridge for the common reader.
Yes.
And what the light speaks of is God is beautiful.
Yes.
He is light. In him is no darkness at all.
That's right.
He shines an unapproachable light. He dwells. He wraps himself with light. God is light. But God isn't just light. God is fire.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about this with Jesus' eyes. But this is the nature of God. God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
He's not a stoic, a detached being at a distance. He's the God who's after us. He's passion. He's fire. But he's not only beautiful and burning, there's an emerald rainbow surrounding
his
throne.
He's mercy.
He's mercy.
Yeah, the emerald rainbow. In fact, when you get into that language, it's a rainbow, but it could even be a dome.
Ugh.
The thing is wrapped around the throne. And here's, I want you just to think about this for a minute. It says it's an emerald rainbow. Well, emeralds are green.
Wow.
And rainbows are
every color.
All these colors. What is he even seeing?
Oh my goodness.
what is John even looking at right now? He's got a jasper and sardius light mingled, engulfing itself, fire, beautiful, brilliant God who has a bow of whatever it is, gradient, green, colorful, wondrous expression. And that's who he is. And John is sitting there and he is in shock and awe. And that's the point of this thing. This is what you have audience with. Yes, I want you to get the technical details of it, but there's something that is supposed to capture you because this is grander than if you were standing on the surface of the sun. This is grander than if you heard a symphony of a million instruments and voices. This is the epicenter of all created order. This is the place by which we actually have our being. This is the center of all reality, and anything that's apart from this place is apart from reality. The closer you are to this place, the more into reality you are, and the further away, the more outside of reality you are. That idea that you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good is such a false notion. Because here's the thing, if you're not heavenly minded, you are no earthly good.
That's absolutely true.
Because the point of us having the indwelling spirit is to bring the glory of that place to bear
absolutely.
In this place.
Yes.
And if you don't know what that place is, then how can you manifest it here? And one of the big things that I'm challenged with is how little we know of the throne room.
Yes.
And how odd it seems. There's living creatures and there's eyes all over them. And yeah. One is a lion head, one is an eagle head, one is an ox head, one is a man head. What is that? That's weird. No. That's not weird. Mm-hmm. That's normal to God. And if we were acquainted with him, it would seem normal to us.
Oh my goodness.
But because we are unacquainted with him, because we lack the knowledge of him, this is our challenge, right? Because we lack the knowledge of him, what is normal to him seems so weird to us. And we've got to get really comfortable with creatures, living creatures with, you know, six wings and covered in eyes, and they sing holy, holy, holy. We've got to get comfortable with that, because that is the place that we have audience. That is the place that we've been seated in.
He's beautiful. He's burning. And he is the merciful, covenant-keeping, kind God. And we see these 24 thrones around that throne. And on them sit elders, and they're robed, they're throned, and they're crowned. There's a real aristocracy around the throne room of God. But this also speaks to what you and I look like in the presence of God. We are robed in his righteousness. We are sitting on thrones, and we are crowned with crowns of gold. He dignifies us, friend. And it's time for the body of Christ to wake up to our identity in heavenly places, in Christ, waking up. Because what it's going to release, it's going to restore, Revelation 4, verse 5, lightnings, thunderings, and voices.
Yes.
We're going to see a release of the prophetic spirit once again. There's these lightnings, these thunderings, and these voices that when it's a connect between the Jasper Sardius rainbow God meeting robed, throned, and crowned elders. And when the nitrogen meets the glycerin, there's lightnings, thunderings, and voices. It speaks about the synergism between the redeemed and God.
Yes.
That's what this is about.
It's powerful.
It's about the thunders, the Job 37, Psalm 29, the Habakkuk 3, lightnings, the rays, the flashing, and the power of God that breaks out of that place of encounter.
Yeah. And there's real thunders.
Yes.
It's not just a figurative thunder. It's not just a figurative lightning. Here's what you got to catch. This point of, as intercession is made before the throne, as the interaction between humanity and deity is taking place, and we touch something in the heart of God through prayer, through intercession, when we're touching his heart, his desires, he then answers it with legitimate, real thunder out of his being. Now, just think that through for half a second, that you created little you and me. We have an audience with him. The fact that we would be dignified to even be in that place is crazy. Hey. This is what the blood of Jesus has gained us. It's an audience in that place, accepted in fellowship in that place, not just a spectator on the row, 1 million.
Yes.
We are front and center in that place. But when we make requests, that interaction is then answered with thunders from the very being of God. And the scripture is really clear. God thunders what? With his majestic voice.
That's right.
He answers by thunder. So you and I, we pray, Father, would you release your will? Father, give the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, do what you desire to do on the earth. And God answers with a roar of thunder. And then Job 37 says, he commands the lightning where to strike. So that thunder and that lightning that's coming out of him, that's the answers to the prayers of the saints.
I love that, Billy, you're touching this about being with prayer, because the disciples said, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, when you pray, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. He takes us to the throne room.
Yes, he takes us right there and puts us in the same seat as those.
He goes, this is where prayer happens, is in the throne room of God. These are where the lightnings take place and the thunders. We see a sea of glass, sea of this translucent, transparent sea of glass, seven lamps of fire burning. And then we see these four living creatures. Billy was just talking about them. Guys, this is amazing. They have, it says one looks like a lion, one like an eagle, one like an ox, and one has the face of a man. And the scripture says this, that they're filled with eyes.
Covered with eyes all
covered
around.
Covered with eyes around and within. Which means they're translucent. You can see their insides. So their outsides are eyes and their insides are eyes. God can do this. He has a blank slate. He can come up with this however he wants to. What is God telling us about his government and how his witness goes forth? See, that's what we're seeing about throne room. We're learning about government, synergism between the divine and the human, lightning, thundering voices. Now we see these creatures filled with eyes that take on different aspects of God's nature. And the Bible says that they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, it is to
come." The whole earth is full of your glory.
They've been in the same room with the same person singing the same word forever. All those eyes getting filled with fresh discoveries, fresh light touching, short circuiting all those eyes. Hey!
I tell you, the first time I thought about the living creatures and I realized one looks like a lion, one looks like an ox, one looks like an eagle. And then I realized, oh, wait, they've been there forever. And then I realized, oh, lion, the lion was made after the living creature. The eagle was created after the living creature. The ox was created after the, in other words, in creation, God wove together little emblems to show us what he's put in his throne room. And then I realized, oh my gosh, we don't know him at all. We don't know what he's like at all. But here's the beauty of this place. We actually have audience in the throne room. You close your eyes any moment, you are there. Thunders, lightnings, voices, jasper, sardius, God, emerald, rainbow on the sea of glass, 24 elders throned and crowned and robed, seven lamps of fire, four living creatures, holy, holy, holy. This is our place of divine entertainment.
Friends, the greatest crisis confronting the church, it's boredom. The greatest cancer eating the church right now, it's boredom. The one we talk about, the one we sing about, the one we do a thousand things in the name of, he doesn't fascinate us. They've been in the same room with the same person, singing the same word forever. They never get used to him. Great is the Lord. His greatness is unsearchable. Friend, it's time for boredom to get broken off of our eyes, to get broken off of our hearts, for fresh fascination, fresh wonder, fresh glory to touch our spirits.
Yes.
God wants, that's why we go back to that Ephesians 1, that the eyes of your understanding would be
enlightened.
Open.
Yes.
He wants to awaken your eyes to see him, to be thrilled with aspects of the spirit of revelation, and for fresh proclamations of the beautiful God to come out of you. I just want to pray. I want to end it with that.
We'll have to do Revelation 5 next episode. Just go, Corey.
God, I pray that you would cure us of boredom, that you would cleanse us of boredom, and that you would restore fascination and wonder to the eyes of your people. Open my eyes that I would see wondrous things. It's Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I will see wondrous things. Restore wonder. Restore fascination. Restore childlike questions that never get answered.
Yes.
God, blow our minds, I pray. I pray for the spirit of revelation to rest upon us. God, I want to be a burning creature.
Yes.
I want to be a burning creature that's in your house looking at you forever and releasing a proclamation that makes crowns fall.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Right now, we just join in with the anthem around your throne, Father. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The whole earth is full of your glory. Holy, 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 holy,
holy,
holy. Lord, give us entrance. Let us see what we've been given access to. Open our minds to see. Lord, cleanse our eyes from worthless things. And let us turn aside to see. Lord, I ask for that grace, that escort into Revelation 4 in the throne room. I pray for everyone that's connecting to our podcast, that they would take Revelation 4 into their prayer time this week. They'd close their eyes and they would begin to interface with you. Behold, one seated on the throne, who's like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. There was an emerald rainbow around the throne. Before the throne, seven lamps, 24 thrones around the throne, four living creatures, sea of glass, thunders, lightnings, voices. God, bring us into this place of divine entertainment and thrill us, thrill us, thrill us, and shock us. Do it, Lord, we ask. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Friends, the first time I heard it was 1999, and I didn't understand much of what I was reading, but I just stayed with it. Just press through the awkwardness of new thoughts filling your eyes and learn how to lift your soul and fill your mind with what the Word of God says about heaven and the throne room, and watch what happens when it starts shifting you on the inside.
Yes.
I promise you it'll shift you. Bless you guys.
Bless you.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Gripped. We hope this episode ministered to your heart. If so, feel free to subscribe and leave us a good rating. You can find previous episodes on Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon Podcasts. You can watch this episode and more on our YouTube channel, Gripped Podcast, and follow us on Instagram at The Gripped Podcast. To stay connected with Corey's ministry, you can find out more at www.coreyrussell.org. To stay connected with Billy's ministry, you can find out more at www.billyhumphrey.com. Bless you guys.